Welcome back to the Cambridgeshire Football Show, and we're now joined by legendary local footballer Andy Jeffrey. So thanks for coming in to the studio, Andy.
No problem, Ollie. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, over 400 appearances in total for United, City and Histon. Yeah, a bit of local legend in these spots. Firstly, I just want to get your thoughts on the conversation we just had regarding United. What goes through different players' minds when you've hit that real bad patch and a win just doesn't look like it's coming? But even when you're playing good football like Cambridge at the minute?
I think it depends what's being fed into them. It depends on the feedback from the fans. So if they feel the fans are still behind them, if they're still being told, look, you're doing the right thing, keep going this way, it's just that little bit of luck, you need to turn it. That's very important. It's easy to get very negative on that kind of run. So if the fans are then feeding into that, that's not really helping those players. But it's amazing how it can turn. As you say, if they're playing well, just that little opportunity, maybe if they pick up a draw today, maybe even a win, it can turn. Just because if the basics are there and they're playing well, just not quite getting there at the moment, then all they need is that one result and that lifts everybody. So the message I'd give to the youth fans is, look, you know, if you go in today, you're travelling a long way, give them your backing, and next home game, get behind them.
Yeah, well, that's what they need to get behind the team. You hear a lot nowadays about losing the dressing room. That's talked a lot about throughout the leagues. I'm not saying that's happened at Cambridge, but has it ever happened in your experience? How quickly does it evolve and spread in the dressing room?
Personally, no. I know circumstances where it might have happened, but I think that really comes from when you're not managing the players who are outside of the team. So that's where it usually comes. If you're in the first 11, you're normally happy enough. You're going along and you'll do your best and give your best. It's those players who are, they're important as well, that, you know, on that occasion when they need to come into the side, or maybe they're just coming back from injury, they're not getting the opportunity. That's where you can have a little bit of unrest. But I think the good managers make sure they appreciate where they fit in the side and how they're going to contribute.
Yeah, well, moving on to yourself then. And firstly, how are you? What are you up to nowadays since your footballing career finished in 2002?
Well, apart from looking after Grace, who's with me today. Hi, Grace. My daughter. I'm a billing manager for a Lloyd's syndicate. So into the exciting world of insurance, which I do on a regular basis. So that takes up a lot of my time, but otherwise weekends I like to sort of spend catching up with all the latest fashions with Grace.
So let's move on to football then, and to your first spell in Cambridgeshire. You played 87-88 when you arrived at City, but prior to City, when you arrived, there was that dreadful decade that it was actually said on the website itself. There was a dreadful decade of the club where relegation, dwindling crowds, protests, etc. However, just the season before you arrived, 85-86, the club won the Southern League South Championship. So what state was the club in when you arrived?
Well, I do remember, because my dad used to take me up to City at the old ground, and then remember going to the new one with the dog track running through the middle. And yeah, it was a hard time. But then you're right, they managed to get a good nucleus of players there. So they picked up some good local young players, and also some of the United stalwarts of the time moved across with Fowl, Stevie Spriggs, Tom Finney, that kind of player. And it was really on the up. So, you know, it's a club like City does engender a certain spirit. And I think that's always been the case there, and the team really stick together. And I think it helped that you had so many people from the local area all playing together, and they looked out for each other, you know. It was like it wasn't a clique type approach, it was as a group.
And you left in 87, like I said, to move to Leicester, but you returned to the area in 91. And after two further years at City, you crossed the water such to United. In 1992, United actually just failed to make the inaugural Premier League. And a whole host of players left: Dublin, Claridge, John Taylor, all in that year of 92, leaving. You joined in 93. So what was it like to rebuild after so many big names and big characters left?
It certainly was a transition period. I remember when I went up for the first time just before pre-season, trying to make sure I was fit enough, you know, moving back into the professional leagues. Mm-hmm. And you had like Phil Chappell there, who was already in doing his training, a great fella. And then a couple of days later, he's off to Charlton. So that brought it home to me after all the other ones that had left.
Yeah.
That it was a club which were moving, you know, they'd gambled a fair bit on making that progression into the Premier League, lost the playoffs. And then they were reflecting again on that. So it was a pretty tough time. But you did have this kind of mix of new players that they were bringing in, plus some of the sort of legends of the time. So you still had Mick Cheetham around, you still had Liam Dacia around, Danny O'Shea, Mick Heathcote, those type of players. So it was a good mix, and it certainly helped develop a lot of young players at Cambridge at that time into the players they become.
Yeah, like you said, it was a bit of a transition period. 10th in Division 3 when you consolidated after relegation, then relegated again. So I guess where you sort of found your level, you spent 7 of the next 10 seasons in that division. So was that Cambridge had settled again and you'd found your standard, if without sounding disrespectful, you'd found where you felt most comfortable?
I think in that first season, pretty similar, if my memory serves me correctly. You know, somebody may call and tell otherwise, but the start of that period, we made a really good start, and then we had a bit of a dip. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the issues around young players is consistency of form over a period. But so we run a little bit of a poorer run, but then all of a sudden we clicked. And at that point, that's the period when you had Steve Butler and Carlo Corazin scoring lots and lots of goals. So that, you know, we went on this long run. So we beat Exeter 5-0 away, beat Plymouth 3-0 away, we beat Cardiff 7-2 away. These kind of results in there, and we were really pushing for the playoffs until we fell at home against Huddersfield. So just as Joe Dunn was talking about earlier, it's just that one click moment that really kicks in. We weren't playing badly, and the players still believed in the approach. It was just that, you know, that one result where you actually get that lift, and then on you go.
And you moved back to City in 96 for a further 2 years. Firstly, had the club changed at all in the time you've been away? So how had it differed, not just on the pitch, but off the pitch as well?
I think there was a change of management during that period of time, so there was a slightly different approach, and I think I saw a transition of the squad from when I moved back to when I left, away from the more locally sourced playing squad into one which where the manager had different ideas about looking around the leagues, picking up some of the talent in the other teams. And it was, you know, again, that was a bit of a transition period. I think there were still, you know, discussions around the ground and finances. But a challenging time. But I think we just did enough to sort of stay afloat, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, you did stay afloat in the Southern League Premier Division. Continued to battle away in that time, like you say, to keep your Premier Division status. The growth continued when you left, though, so much that the club won promotion to the Conference South in 2005. Do you feel that period where you stayed in the Premier Division really set the foundations to kick on?
Well, it's important. I think we can see now, if you can maintain your league position, then it's very important. If, unfortunately, you do move down the leagues, then you do have that battle to get back up. So it puts, you know, extra years on any plan that you've got trying to get back in that. So, yes, it was important there. And then, as you say, there was a good period of time where the club were on the up, some good results, and obviously achieved that promotion. But I think the most important thing coming into the present day is we see that they've got good people behind the scenes at City. They've got a good management team with Robbie. And, I've seen some of the games this year looking pretty good. So I think things look positive for them.
Very much so. And top it all off, in 98 you moved to Histon, cementing your place as the hero amongst all the local people, to keep all the fans
or
happy.
Yeah.
And took over the armband in the 99-2000 season. And after a 35-year wait, the club won the Eastern Counties Premier League title. That must have been an incredible moment for you and the club.
Yeah, it certainly was. I mean, it's one of those things the club had some great ambition. That was Gareth Baldwin at the time who was really selling the club, looking at how he wanted them to progress. And he was really a driving force at that time through Histon. And he made a lot of people believe it as well. And I think that, you know, he added to the squad. He got some really good quality players in from around the area. And, yep, and that last day, I think it was away at Galston. Can't remember when Wayne Goddard scored the winning goal and won the league. It was a great day and a great experience. And that was the foothold then to move on to the next level.
Of course, yeah. Then promoted in 2004-05 to Conference South, similar to City. Now, Andy, it's time, though, for your Cambridge 105 aside. You said it's tough picking five. We could have done 11, but unfortunately, we've got an hour. So we've gone with your five aside. The best five players you play with has to be from either United City or Histon, and you cover all three of those sides. So, yeah, it must include a goalkeeper and four outfield players, though. So, yeah, tell us, firstly, who the keeper is and why.
Well, just to say, really, because I've been very fortunate to play with some very good players and may I say also some very good people. So there's so many that are out here, and I'm going to mention some as I go through.
Okay, no worries.
But keeper-wise, I'm just thinking, you know, across the line. Played with great keepers like John Sheffield, over at United, Paul Barber at Histon. But the one who really stood out and then went on to have a good career, partially hampered by injury, is John Farland. So our local resident Australian at that time, really, really strong keeper, and you could see from early days, you know, he's a player that joined the club around the same time as me, that he was going to progress on to other things, you know.
And then your four outfield players as well, and why have you gone with them?
Okay, the reason I've gone with them, I said so many good players, so I've picked quite a defensive side because it just seems to be the way that some of my closest friends have come in. So I pick friends because some of the other players, they'll be in lots of other five-a-side teams, OK?
Yeah, no worries.
But we're looking very solid at the back. We've got Steve Gorthrop.
He'll be happy, he's very happy.
Well, that's why I'm picking him, right? if he's listening.
Regular for the show as well, so...
Yeah, look, he's a top-class individual. He's a great player. He was such a great servant for City as well. And he's still associated, still follows him. Another one who had a heck of a lot of talent, great centre-half, James Saddington, who played at City and also at Histon. Some of the most enjoyable times, actually, just sort of trying to make sure that I was covering round James all the time. Also, somebody who was a very good player, started off at Sheffield Wednesday and scored a bit of a wonder strike, which you can check up later against Liverpool, as Dean Barrick. So he was probably my closest friend during my time at United, but a very good player as well, and a International Veterans World Cup winner.
There you go.
Out in the Far East, where he's teaching now as well as a PE teacher. And I need somebody who can score the goals.
Of course.
So I did actually go, kept away from United, and went for Neil Harris, because certainly a City legend. Lots and lots of goals. Went on to a very good career with Millwall and managing them now. Still managing them, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, as of this morning, he was managing them. If I can quickly, I'll just put in some...
Yeah, feel free.
...noble exceptions. I was talking earlier about the progression that a lot of young players made at United at the time, with the experience of those other players. Players like Micah Hyde went to offer Gary Rowett, Jody Craddock, Danny Granville, European Cup Winners' Cup medal. And some of those experienced players that were still around, so Liam Dace was there, Mick Heathcote, Danny O'Shea, Mick Cheatham, Steve Claridge came back during that time, and some of those guys, and also Paul Wanless, I know, is a very well-regarded player up at United, and a legend. And then you've got some of the local guys as well, and I think maybe people like Aidy and Jamie Barker, Kendo, Neil Andrews... We'd be very disappointed if I didn't mention them. and especially Ian Cambridge as well. Second best feet in Cambridgeshire.
We'd be delighted you've named him. And the five you have named will be done. What a team is. Solid at the back, but lots of potency going forward as well. But thank you, Andy. We'll get a bit more from you later on. We're just going to quickly bring back in Andy Jeffrey, who's joined us in the studio today, former Cambridge United City and Histon player. Andy, I've got some quick fire questions for you to finish off. For starting away, straight away, best player you've played with?
Gary McAllister.
Best manager you've been under?
Ooh. It's got to be Fowl. Steve Fallon, surely.
Obviously, that win in for Histon as well in the Eastern Counties Premier Division.
Yep.
Which player had the most potential?
Danny Granville was a great player, great talent. He made a lot of it as well.
Yeah. Who would you bet your life on scoring a one-on-one?
Apart from me, probably Neil Harris, I'd say.
Player who should have played at a higher level?
Uh, couple at Histon, I would have said. Mo 3, AD Cambridge, Jamie Barker.
Yeah, best moment in your career?
Probably Eastern Counties League was good. I think the winning against Peterborough in the FA Cup derby was great, but enjoying the game was the main thing.
Best mate in football?
Depends on the club. Going at United, Dean Barrick. I'd go that way. Saddy, Histon, and City, and also Butch. But a lot of good friends at City.
Hmm. And favourite ground you played in front of your whole career?
Favourite ground ever? Oh, maybe Old Trafford, something like that.
It's got to be.
Anfield, maybe.
Got to be. And it's just quickly, just to finish off, thank you for joining us, Andy. It's been a brilliant insight into your career and, yeah, great talk about all the levels you've played at and definitely a local legend in these parts. But I'll be back next week at the same show, same time, 12 to 1, the Cambridgeshire Football Show.
Online, on digital and on FM.
This is Cambridge 105 Radio.